There you are.
There we are.
Hey, you okay?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. It sounds a little bit like you're in a well. Everything okay?
Everything's good. Let me get out of here.
Okay. That's okay.
I just jumped out of the well.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, we were just doing a bit of a review before we got you on the phone, and you know, I end up doing all the talk all the time, and I'm going to talk a little bit today. But what was the thing that you just said you wanted to ask Rob about? Madeline's got something to ask.
I just wanted to know, this is more of a generalization, because, you know, we just got done with our tax, not done with tax season, but, you know, mostly done with tax season, and we had so many emergencies. And I don't know how or what would be the best way to bring it up. Like, you need to come to us with these emergencies 1 month ago instead of April 15th.
Yeah, never going to happen.
Come on, that's not
thanks for the pop. Okay.
No, human nature is to procrastinate. We can't, you know, we can be all the planned and you know, the best plans of mice and men go to hell in the fog of war.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you just know they're going to procrastinate. You know they're going to have emergencies and they're going to call. The only way to manage it is to have just really important clients and, you know, not any of the others. Because everybody's going to call,
yep,
whether they're paying you or not. And that's when you start to realize that even though they're no trouble and it's da-da-da-da-da, they are trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
So you got to – each one has got a cost, even though it doesn't appear that it's a real cost. So when you're doing your, you know, when you're doing your segmenting, look hard at it and think April 15th.
So I want to look at it with the April 15th mentality.
Yeah. And strike off the list those that called on Monday.
Right.
they're gonna be segmented out of here. Yeah. This was just weird. I mean, we usually don't have. I mean, RMDs are usually a real mess for Madeline, but this was a year where the income taxes just, you know, we hadn't had one like this in a long time.
Well, what happened, you know, what they did was they stopped withhold, they under withheld.
Yep, exactly.
And like my daughter, you know, called and said, Dad, I've got a $9,000 tax bill. They won't let me deduct this and this and this. What can I do? I said, vote Republican.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm going to do what I always do to start off, only because I got the notes sitting on my desk and the ladies are sitting around us. We all watched the week 8 video.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to start off with, if you don't mind, is to let you know, and again, I know you've heard this lament over and over and over again. It makes me feel like we are just so far behind, because when you start the video, it says, you should have, by now you should have, and you list all of these things, and we're kind of like, by now you should have really grasped what this is all about, so that when I let you go, you'll go do all of this stuff. And are we being fair to you and fair to ourselves by kind of really looking at it that way?
No, but there's things we can do to accelerate our progress,
mm-hmm,
without severely increasing the amount of time commitment. Okay.
Okay.
So, one of the things, and this is, you know, I probably talked about this last week because I'm kind of getting on this as an absolute, you have to do this with all my teams. And that is, you have to listen to the books on tape, okay? So you need to get the audible book of the Supernova Advisor.
Yeah.
And you need to listen to it.
Listen to it, right. Okay?
You have to do that. And you can't do it once. I want you to listen to it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Make it part of our routine.
Yeah, commute to and from work, I want you to listen to that, the Supernova Advisor.
Okay.
And then when the Supernova Multiplier comes out, I want you to listen to that. All right? Because it's an up-to-date version of the other one with a lot more of what the details are that you are doing in today's 12 years later world. I wrote that first one in 2007, and it's still going to be really helpful to you. But when you listen to the second one, you're going to go, aha, look at that. That's what's changed, and that's what's changed, and that's what's changed.
Okay.
So here's going to be available, Ron?
The end of the month.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Okay. Got it.
So the Supernova Advisor is available now. The book on Teams, which we'll talk about later, you don't have to do that now. That's available now, and the multiplier will be available by the end of the month. It's being recorded now.
Okay.
So what that will do is it'll literally make you an authority on Supernova. You're not going to have the questions, as many questions as you have, because you'll know what I'm talking about, and you'll hear my words, and it'll just get in your brain better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I do anything about, I can't help you build folders, and I can't help you segment a client away. Okay.
Right.
You got to do that on yourself, and you got to do that as soon as you can. And it's just one of those things. It's a procrastination issue of, you know, do we want to do it now, or do we want to put it off, or what are we going to do?
Right.
So that's, you know, that one I can't help you with that one. But, you know, I can help you with questions, and I can answer things for you, and I can give you words, and I can give you encouragement, and I can tell you that you're behind, but I can't tell you that it's all going to get all better, because, you know, you got to catch up. That's all.
No, we know. That's the, we are grown ups, and we, I mean, the good thing is there's a lot of good things. And we actually had originally scheduled a lunch tomorrow with Jerry and Gerald and the crowd up in Columbia, but they ended up having to cancel. So we're rescheduling for next week. So I was hoping that,
okay,
you know, when we talk with next week, that we would be able to share with you the things that they shared with us about basically feeling that they couldn't do it, and then coming back and saying, yes, we can, and realizing,
right,
you know, what we need to realize. And I think it makes me feel like if they were able to realize it, we certainly can too. So that's
oh,
all good.
You're doing fine. Yeah, don't worry. You're doing fine.
Okay.
I mean,
okay,
you're not. If you were arguing with me as to the merits of the program, then I'd say, you know, we got some struggles ahead.
Yeah.
But you're not doing that. You're just saying I'm behind according to the script. You know, I'm supposed to be done with segmentation and be all organized now and have my folders done and be, you know, have everybody signed up by week 8. Well, yeah. But as I told you, those guys didn't get segmented until almost the end of a year.
Right.
So, you know, they were, but they finally did, you know, but it was, they just made it really, they cut the cord with a butter knife.
Okay. We need to do better than that. We'll use a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, just anything, you know, just sharpen it up and cut it, because it's very painful the way they did it.
Well, thank you. Let me start with a couple of notes that I took from the video. And you've heard us say this in a couple of our sessions before, Yvette has been doing this for ever since she's been in the business, and she does a great job with doing the agendas when we have our meetings. And, of course, now, you know, we'll have different things in the client agenda going forward once Supernova becomes fully adopted. But one of the things that you said, unless I misunderstood, in the video, is that when we sit down with clients with the agenda, of course, now we send the agenda ahead of time, and and do we ask them to then tell us what's on their agenda, or wait until we sit down with them and open a meeting that says, okay, what's on your agenda, or do we just want to make that what's on your agenda in part of our meeting, you know, at some point in the meeting?
The answer is both.
Okay.
The answer is both. You want here. We talked about this, that there are several things that make people leave. One of them is not my, I don't believe that my financial advisor really knows who I am. We take care of that with a financial plan. The other one is I don't think my financial advisor really listens to me. And we take care of that by asking them if there's something that you would like to put on the agenda, please email it to us and we'll add it right in.
Got it.
And I've started
doing that since
we've been
talking about it. Yeah, that's good.
And mainly in a very casual way. I said, tell me specific if there's something on your mind that just that way I can be better prepared to discuss it when you come in or something or when we talk about it. That's perfect.
So then the other one is before you start, you say, okay, here's our agenda. Good morning. You know, here's our agenda. Before we get started on the agenda, is there anything on your mind that you'd like to bring up? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can do it, you know, just like we do, right? I start out every call. What's on your mind?
Yep. You know, you said you said one thing in there that I thought was pretty powerful about we're supposed to listen to our clients to understand, not to judge.
Oh, that's really good, yeah.
But, I mean, you said it.
Yeah, moment of brilliance, you know.
But with the idea of, you know, trying to come across that we're not you know, we're not preachy to them. We're not, I'm going to use the term judging. We're not judging what they're doing with their money or what they do with their lives or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, just really getting a good handle and I don't want to say acting sincere, just being more sincere, just being part of that.
But I actually think that we do a pretty good job, especially you, Jack. I don't think you
do.
Yes, I don't think you come across ever you know, judgmental on somebody, how they're spending. You always tell them it's your money, you know, it's your money, you know, you do what you want to do.
Okay.
I mean, you're always very easygoing about that. I don't think anybody ever feels.
Okay. I hope not.
Yeah.
Hope y'all will tell me if I do.
Thought.
But anyway, I just thought that was really neat about listen to understand and not to judge.
Now, can we... Here's the hardest thing in the world. Do that as a parent.
Forget it. Or as the, a grown child of my parent. I mean, do that as a parent of your own parent. You know, does that make any sense to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, really a good practice. If you can force yourself to think of yourself as a minister or something, you know, here I am. Okay, I'm going to listen, to understand, and to be of help, not to judge.
Yeah.
It's a great way to think. And watch how many people really do it. Practice it. And listen. Listen when you're in conversation about how many people really listen to understand. Most of them have their own agenda all worked up in their head, by the time the person's finished saying anything, they've got their own pitch all set up and ready to go.
Yep. Yep.
They're not really listening to learn or to understand. They're listening to respond and to impress or to be pompous or do whatever they do.
A totally different agenda.
It's a completely different way of being. We don't teach people to listen anymore, and we should. And one of the ways to make sure that you tell people that you're listening is by asking questions to make sure that they know that you understand what they're saying. So when you say something, I say, interesting, or that's a good point, or just something to acknowledge the fact that you have heard them. And if it's in an argument or it's in a situation, you can just say, just so I understand, that you've made your point clear. Is this what you said?
Mm-hmm.
And then just repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Restate the comment. And what that will do oftentimes is diffuse the anger, or it diffuse the situation.
Yep.
In your mind, and it gives you time to prepare an answer, because sometimes we get stuck and we can't even come up with an answer, but you need a little time. And it's not patronizing. It's simply making sure that you heard him correctly. And you don't say, no, that was such a bizarre statement. Let me just make sure I understand what it was.
Did I hear you right?
That would be a Saturday Night Live skit. That would be very good. Very good.
That'd be a great skit. You could have somebody teaching somebody to listen properly, and then just have them just mess it up like crazy. That'd be great.
Something just jumped out at me, and I think we've asked you this before, and I apologize for being redundant, but it's all part of really learning and understanding. If we're expecting that Madeline is going to get some of this blowback from the clients that we are segmenting away from us.
Madeline, we do too.
Huh?
Not just Madeline.
No, but it comes to her first.
Yeah,
front line. And didn't you say that the best thing is not for Madeline to have to try to handle it, but to basically say, let us do it, or am I missing something there?
Yeah. Hold on.
Sure.
Just a sec. Hang on one sec.
No, I know. I just want you to be able to just say.
I've got an IVIG.
My pulse is at 150.
And I've got a call at 8:30.
She kind of used that line. No, I'm going to the middle.
Yeah, probably too
tired. Bad. I felt so bad. It's like breaking up. Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
Hey, are you okay?
Okay, sorry, guys. I had to turn down a golf game tomorrow.
Oh, somebody's got to do it.
I got only so many years. You know, I'm 70.
Hey, you know, we have some pretty good golf courses in Charleston. You need to put that on your list. Yeah.
You got a beautiful city there. You really do. It's gorgeous.
We're really fortunate. This is a total aside, but next month, isn't it? The LPGA, yeah. The LPGA, one of the LPGA, well, it's the LPGA tournament, isn't it? It's going to be at the Country Club of Charleston. And one of our associates here, colleagues, Frank Ford, actually his grandfather, was one of the big premier golf guys in South Carolina. And Morgan Stanley is hosting the event. So it's a real cool thing. Excuse me, for Morgan Stanley and for our office. Yeah. Be on TV, all week, that kind of thing.
You're going to be there, and you're taking clients, I hope.
Well, we are, and we are.
That's the idea, yeah.
That is exactly right. We've been very fortunate. I think Yvette and Madeline and I are going to have the largest pecking order, it should be that way, but anyway, we'll be able to take the ones we want, so they'll work out fine. All right.
You're going to have a tent, too, right?
To do what now?
Do you have a tent there?
I don't know. I think
I would hope so. I hope we have like a VIP tent.
Yeah, we have. I think it's more than a tent. I think there are two ways of doing this. There's something called the it's like overlooking the golf course, and it's in the ballroom. So we have ballroom passes for some of our clients, and then the other would be in the Morgan Stanley tent.
Wow, that's nice. So you're going to have access to the clubhouse and the tent.
Yes.
That's
my understanding.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's going to be cool.
Yeah. I of course, had the honor, privilege, and responsibility to host many, many events for my region. And so I'm a bit of an authority on how to do that. We had Maryland shootouts that I had hosted every year in Indianapolis. And then we had, of course, Ryder Cups and U.S. Opens, PGA championships all over whenever Minneapolis or wherever it was, I was always the host and had a tent. And I would always go and spend the week and I would be at the beck and call of you guys to try and make the clients feel special. So it's a wonderful thing, and it's a great opportunity, and you want to take the time to enjoy the clients and the experience because they will never forget it. I mean, it's always just something you always remember. So it's a great marketing opportunity.
It really is. We're really tickled with Frank having done that. I'm checking off my list now. These are some of the quick things that I wrote down on watching the video.
Yep.
I would love some elaboration, and I'm sure they would too. I think they would too. You were talking about when we have our meetings, face-to-face meetings, our reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Try to finish in about 55 minutes.
Yep.
And then to end the review with an action item. Can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Well, I'm a believer, a lot of people, and I teach that these are educational experiences for the client. It's a training exercise as well as an educational exercise. So you're training the client to be a good client. So you're teaching them what their responsibilities are, what they should be doing all the time. All right, so think of them as your sales force. So you're teaching your sales force how to understand what it is that you do and be able to articulate it with their friends and family and others, right? So they become your advocates.
Right.
Not just clients, not just people that enthusiastically endorse you, but advocates for you, which is really people that go out and become centers of influence. So that's your eventual hope for. When I say take an action step, there's always something that you should be doing. there's no client that has wealth that is all set. You should be doing some cash flow analysis. You should be doing some planning. You should be consolidating debt. You should be somehow, you know, doing something that creates value for them. The other thing that I sometimes don't articulate enough is the idea that you're their advocate. You're saving them money. So every time you're saving the client money, you should write it down in a list. And then periodically, not to brag, but just simply remind them, the reason we did that was because that is going to be saving you money in the long run. And, you know, because people don't, all they remember about the financial planning and the estate planning is that it costs them money. Mm-hmm. Well, in reality, if you, people say, well, how much should I charge for financial planning? And I say, how much are you going to save the client? Right? I mean, if you do a good job of estate planning, you could save the client millions of dollars and bring their family together, help them to understand the value of money. What it is that, you know, I always love the question, are you using your money to pass on your values to your children? What is that?
You stole my words. Yeah, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, yeah, that's what they're going to say. That's what you want them to say. That's what these, you know, one of the things in one of the chapters, are you asking basically provocative questions that will get the clients thinking? Well, what are your values? And then how do we pass on those values to your children, and then how do we use your money to do that? Or how do we leverage that? Well, we can create vehicles to do that. You can either do it through community foundations, or you can create your own family foundation. And then you pass on your values of philanthropy, generosity, your Christian values, you know, to your children on, you know, this is the benefit of hard work, is that we get to help other people. Now, who are the people that we want to help? That also articulates your values, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to educate people? Do we want to educate hardworking people that just haven't, you know, smart, hardworking people that really will appreciate it? Or do we want to help the homeless? You know, what's our real purpose here, and what does it align with our value? Interesting, right? Because you can help. The homeless are clearly people that need your help, and they may be perfect for what you're trying to do. They have absolutely nowhere to turn, but interestingly enough, a lot of homeless people want to stay homeless. It's really weird. But I digress. But if you're giving it to hardworking, you know, enthusiastic, smart, young people that just, you know, they're either going to go work in the factory or they're going to go to college, and that depends on you and your family, well, that's a heck of a deal, right?
Yep.
That doesn't take much to help them. And that'll pay off for the rest of your life. So it's just, you know, that's the conversation you have with people. It's a different conversation, right?
Do we, I just wonder how much, and I'm wondering out loud with both of the ladies here, but the natural part of what we're doing with people, I mean, you put it in emotion, like, you know, how would you like to help people or what the path them? But I mean, should we be proactive in helping them really find if that's what they want to do, or just ask them and let them tell us. You see what I'm saying? I mean, how much should we press?
Remember, I said all of these exercises are training exercises.
Yeah.
Okay. And their reaction will be exactly like yours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a clue what you're talking about. What are you talking
about?
Right. And then you bring up philanthropy. Now they've got some ideas on philanthropy, and they may actually be quite active philanthropically, but they may not have a policy statement determining what it is that they're trying to accomplish as a family.
Right. I remember, and I've been around long enough to remember sort of this is in the mid-90s here in Charleston, a lot of physicians, and which were ended up being a lot of my physician clients, got involved with a startup company here and made a bunch of money and found out they had a tax liability, and kind of at the end of the year, somebody threw out the idea of a charitable remainder trust. This would have been Giles, Owens, all of those came from that. And and I remember a few of them that at the end of the day, I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but at the end of the day, it was clear that these folks really needed to have a charitable bent, not just trying to hide money from taxes, but they really had to sit through and think this, you know, do they really want to do that? Do they want to give up the asset down the road a bit? So it was an interesting exercise, although we were being perfectly reactive to it, but it was an interesting exercise to watch them kind of think, do we really want to give up on this thing after a couple of years? I mean, you know, when it doesn't pass on to the kids because of the charitable remainder trust, it goes to the charity. So they had to make a decision as to whether or not they really wanted to give Winthrop University $2.5 million or whatever it happened to be. So anyway, that's an aside, but that's pretty interesting because that's...
No, that's not an aside. That's right in line. That's exactly what the conversation is about. We can save you a lot of money in taxes, but, you know, I always like the one where, you know, there's, let me see if I, there's three beneficiaries of your money. It's you, your children, a charity, or the U.S. government. You can only pick two out of the three. Which do you want to pick?
Yep.
Right?
That's good.
And that helps those people.
Yep, that's good.
Yeah, because they, you know, I don't want to give it to charity. I want to give it to my kids. Well, you're going to get one of the, you know, it's either going to be the government or a charity is going to get the rest of it.
Right.
There'll be a tax. There's a bill coming due. Now, that's not as big a deal today because it's like $22 million. But, you know, with people with $40 million, it is.
Yep.
So, and, you know, and look at our portfolios. You know,
if they keep appreciating, most people will have a tax problem.
Well, even if it's now $22 million, I mean, that can change. We got clients that are in their 50s, and
right.
The laws change.
The law can change. I mean, look at the election today. I mean, look what they did to the healthcare stocks today.
Right.
You know, we thought that were pretty stable. That's a pretty good group going into our retirement. That, you know, all the baby boomers and all that big story, right? And all of a sudden, just a whiff of socialism and those just get crushed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a little socialism goes a long way towards destroying inheritance tax, tax loopholes, you know. They'd go back to zero.
Yep.
So,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. More questions. That's good.
Yeah, I got at least one more. And this is from the video. Could you go, and this is more for me because I bet the ladies got it, but all of us hearing it over and over again is a good idea. go over the mini-me folders again, kind of review that with us. You know, I remember skirting over it, but I don't remember us doing a kind of a deep dive into it.
Well, the mini-me folder, just think of it as the client folder. It just belongs to the, you know, you have a folder for each client.
Right.
Then you know what's in it. They have a folder for you, all right? In there, instead of the information in the front being about them, as it is in your folder, this is about you and your team, so that they can open it up and see where you're located and your phone number and every, you know, bio and all of you. And it makes it pretty nice for them. Then they have their enthusiastically endorsed list in front of them with all their phone numbers. So they got all their professional advisors right there in front of them. And at the back, they've got their notes that they took and the agendas that you've sent. You know, you don't have to keep them all. Keep a couple of agendas and then throw out the rest. And then if you send them something like we're going to talk about long-term care, and you send them an article, they can two-hole punch it and stick it in there and just read about it before you ever have your phone call, so they're informed.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, you also need a page in there on introductions given and received. And people are like, I don't know if I want to put that in there. I said, yes, you do, because you want to know who it is that those clients introduced you to, and they want to remember it too, because they'll forget.
Oh, and I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, they'll forget, and they'll forget that you introduced them to their cardiologist. You see? So it's introductions given and received. And remember, we're going to call them on the anniversary of when we opened the new account.
Right.
Thank them for the introduction. And then, of course, call the new client, and thank them on their anniversary for having confidence in us. And we really appreciate the business.
Yeah. I remember we went through that last time, and that was
right.
But now thinking about it, having it there in writing, too, is such a good reminder for both us and for them.
Well, you know, we all procrastinate and we all forget. I mean, that's why I want you to listen to the book on tape over and over again, because it's going to help you to just drill the ideas into your head. When I was in the Navy, that's where I really learned spaced repetition for the first time. And really understood it. Because what we would do is we'd read a chapter and then they'd ask us questions on the chapter in the back, you know, 15 different ways. And it seems so repetitive, but you'd have to answer all the questions. And by the time you'd done that, you really knew it was in the chapter.
Yep.
So, you know, when I took a course, Dynamics of Goal Setting, they said, listen to each tape, each chapter, each tape once a day for 5 days. And I did that. And then it just drilled it into my brain. And, you know, I can tell you exactly what was in those tapes today, you know, 40 years later. So that's why, you know, listen to the tapes on the book over and over. And then when we get the multiplier, do the same. And because it will help you. You'll hear it again. You'll hear what it use of the mini-me folder, use of what, how do we develop centers of influence? Why do we do it this way? And you'll hear what will be interesting for you, I think, is the difference between what my ideas were in 2007, versus 2019.
Yeah.
So,
well, I know that,
you know, what have we learned in 12? What have we learned in 12 years of coaching? A lot, you know. I'm a better coach. I'm a much better coach now.
Well, we know that's our number one marching order now is to get, we're all looking around at each other, get the advisor tapes, get them now, listen to them over and over again, and then when the multiplier comes out, we'll do that. And again, you know, all this is good and common sense, and it's just, you know, making it part of our everyday routine. How many times have we said that?
But, you know, I didn't push this. It's just like I didn't push the agenda. I didn't push the executive summary. It takes time even for the coach to get what is needed to make the program work the best it can work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it. I don't get it. You don't get it. Nobody gets it all at once. So when you say we're behind, of course you're behind. Everybody's behind. We're all behind, but we're all doing our best to catch up and get to where we need to go. So we're all, you know, we can all work harder and do more, but we want, with Supernova, the basic premise is work smarter, not harder. So we want you to work smarter. So that's why I say this won't cost you any net time. You just have to turn over, you know, turn Fox News off and ESPN and the latest hits and put on your phone and listen to the Audible book.
Yep.
Okay.
No, I mean you're exactly right. That's it.
Yeah.
So we're looking around. I don't think we got anything else for you. We know what we're going to do. And hopefully by the time we chat next week, we may have already had our lunch call with Gerald and Jerry. We'd like to do some, after that's over with you as part of our discussion, is to do some sort of downloading on you with what they are telling us too. Not that we want you to check up on them and what they're saying, but bounce some things off of you.
And if you want to, we could have a joint call. That would be hysterical.
Big smiles on this side. Well, listen, a hysterical joint call would be fine. But to start with, let's see if we can learn anything from them call.
Right,
because if we get you and Gerald yucking it up.
And you.
And me.
That would be way too much fun. It won't be productive, but it'd be fun.
we're trying to be as productive as we can at this point in time.
All right. Well, before you make sure you've done some of everything that we're trying to do. Meaning, do some segmentation, do some more segmentation, so you can talk articulately about what you've done. You know, have folders, have mini-me folders sent out, meet with clients, do some scheduling. Make sure you've done everything so that you're not asking them what it's like to segment or what it's like to use this or that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whatever it is that you're a little behind on, push that part of it so that you have more concrete material to talk about than just what's it like. You don't want to do that. Okay.
Be specific. Be as specific as we can.
Yeah, and, you know, be a player. You know, you can't learn tennis by reading a book about it. You got to get out there and do it.
Be a player.
So. Yeah.
Bob, you're a great American.
Hey, we do our part, you know.
and I hope you find somebody to play golf with you tomorrow.
I gotta go get a little treatment. I have CLL, which is a little lymphoma deal, and so I need to get treatments for that. And I've got an 8:30 call, so it doesn't. My treatment's at 1:00, and my call is at 8:30. That doesn't give me time for a golf game, but I may just hit balls in between.
There you go. Yes. That's, you know, you're learning from that, as you well know. Plus, it's got to be more relaxing than a call. So
that's true.
And of course, we all hope that you and your family will have a fabulous Easter weekend.
Oh, aren't you sweet? Thank you. And same to you. All the blessings go to you for a wonderful weekend.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.